This is P.S. You're Wrong, the podcast where we talk trash about the things people love to hate and hate to love. And we're your hosts, Shelby and Matt.
Back for a pop culture roundup.
I know. We've got to close the loop on the TS of it all.
Well, right. I was going to ask, is Taylor Swift in Toy Story? Have we gotten to the bottom of
it? Yeah, so it just hot off the presses. There was another countdown on her website and she's written an original song for Toy Story 5. So that's what it all came down to.
The girl wants the Oscar so bad.
The girl wants the Oscar. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting to think of the amount of promo and the amount of, I don't know, like delusion at play. Because, you know, we talked about this like a month ago when she had that blip of a countdown on her website. And right. People were like, she's wearing Toy Story blue. Like, it has to be something. And then it went quiet. And then last week, the producers or whatever were like, yeah, I just watched the final cut and I did not hear a Taylor Swift song in the credits. So I don't know what all this hullabaloo was about. And everyone was like, they said not on the credits. That's so specific. It must mean something else. And then there were these billboards that revealed for Toy Story, but all it said was TS and it had 13 clouds. Right. So,
well, of course, 13 clouds. But we have 13. To.
So it was like either Toy Story was like, we have an opportunity here to just ride this wave of promo, or it was obvious like Taylor Swift was involved. And the question became, does she have like a role in it, like a cameo? Is she going to, you know, release
she
a new
voice
song?
A toy, obviously.
Yeah. So, it is interesting. So she had a countdown then come out today that featured Jessie, the cowgirl character from yes. Toy Story, for anyone unaware. It seems like that's it, that it's just going to be this one song that's going to be in the middle of the movie that has to do with Jessie probably. And it's called...
It looks like it's called I Knew It, I Knew It. I Knew It, I Knew You.
Yeah. I knew it. Yeah. I knew you. And she's also releasing like physical copies, which I think
she's got to get the money.
The song and then like a acoustic version of the song.
Well,
so
yes.
I don't know. It seems like a lot for a song. Like it seems like a lot for a Toy Story to just be like, here's a song. But yeah, I don't know. I don't think she's in it exactly.
I mean, Toy Story, I think that makes sense that she would write a song for this. Like,
yeah.
We've known that Taylor Swift has wanted an Oscar for quite some time. She has, like, yes, she's written songs for movies. Okay, lots of people have written songs for movies. But she also did a full-on campaign to try to get the All Too Well, that was a song, right?
Yeah.
All Too Well. Yeah. Like music short video film. Short film yeah. nominated in the short film category, which the Oscars were not going for. So yeah. On one hand, like, I don't think it's surprising that she's writing a song for Toy Story 5. Also, Toy Story has won at least twice in yeah. Best Original Song, maybe even more than that, because they have had original songs in their various movies. I'm like, let me pull this up. This Oscar Best Original Song Oscar, because I think the whatever the song was in Toy Story 4 won, not mistaken. I'm like, let me look up this, or maybe that lot. No, Toy Story 4 lost to Rocket Man, but it was nominated. Did Toy Story 3 have a song? Toy Story 3 won. Randy Newman wrote a song called We Belong Together, which I don't remember, but I guess it was in there. And then Toy Story 2 has that song that like the Jessie song, When She Loved Me, which was nominated but did not win. And then Toy Story 1 The original Toy Story. I'm like, what year did that come out?
Like 1996.
Oh, yes, 1995. You've Got a Friend in Me was nominated but didn't win. So, so yeah. So all four of the Toy Story movies have gotten the Best Song Oscar. So this does feel like a surefire sort of hit. Obviously, Disney is going to be putting a lot of time and energy into making sure that this gets nominated. It will be very funny if it doesn't get nominated just because the Academy doesn't like Taylor Swift for whatever reason. But also, I think this matches her sensibilities. Like, it feels like whatever song that she wrote will probably be kind of folksy. You know, Woody
yeah,
and Jesse are
very
cowboys.
Country in the promo images. Yes. Yeah.
I'm like, this all like makes
it
sense to
up.
Me.
Yeah.
And I think is actually like a good use of her skills. Like, I think that this is, I don't know if I'm going to like the song, but I'm on board for all of this. This doesn't feel like a stretch or a push or whatever. And I'm sort of like, okay, you know, lock Taylor Swift into her first Oscar nomination for this. Will she win that? You know, sort of lots of things to be considered with that. But
no, but honestly, the most interesting part is like the way fans can like push anything into this sort of like, wow, Taylor Swift's the mastermind type of thing. Cause it's like people were like analyzing like today, 30 years ago was the day Mr. Potato Head first premiered in a commercial, like was the first toy ever in a commercial, or like 47 is a number she threw out a lot on her podcast with New Heights ahead of her engagement, which was like last year, right? Right. Like, she didn't get engaged this year. It was
last year.
So it's like the idea that she's been promoting this single, this movie, I don't know if I buy that fully, but yeah, we were
this
to some
probably
degree.
In the works since last year.
Oh yeah,
but I like, don't know. But I don't think she was like leaving him
47 because I'm going to do a 47 day countdown. And yeah,
like here's a question about the Swifties. Like back when you started Swiftish, which was like 10 years ago. I don't know how long. Yeah, 7 years ago, 8 years, a long time ago at this point.
Yeah,
back when you started that, I feel like that was sort of the start of her kind of Easter eggy era, or like this level of like Easter egg hunting. But I'm like the people who started this have to have grown out of it by now. Like, like who, like what is the age demographic of people who are like figuring out the day that Mr. Potato Head was?
Right. Exactly.
Like, are
it's like, I don't think Taylor Swift is doing that.
Are these people like, who were younger and now are like in their mid 30s, but are still like doing math?
You mean the fans who are reading into it, or the idea of who's doing it on Taylor's team to lay
the? Oh, no, the fan. I mean, I don't think anyone's doing it on Taylor's team. Right. I don't think anyone on Taylor's team has any knowledge of when the original Mr. Potato Head was invented.
Yeah.
I think that like putting TS on a billboard is the level of Easter egg that they are working with, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I remember that music video that was like, it was, I can't remember exactly how this worked, but I'm sure you do. Like, there was a music video for one of her songs, and then it said like Cruel Summer in graffiti in the background or whatever, and then that was the name of another song. Like, that's the kind of thing where I'm like, oh yes, like her team has put that together, whatever. If an album drops on a 13th, it's like, okay, yes, like I think that she thought that through. But the sort of like numbers between things, I don't think she's counting.
I mean, that's what's like so fascinating to me, because more often than not, like, we're wrong. Like, it's the five fence hole, like the five holes in the fence,
right? Yes,
type
the
thing,
five holes in the
like
fence,
she just happened to have these photos that like looked like a countdown if you really squinted your eyes. But I'm like fascinated by the idea of knowing what Taylor is thinking, and then what she is like impressed or scared of when like this these stars sort of align. Like, I really want to know the truth, just because I'm like, I mean, yeah, she could be really eccentric in some ways, but I want to know like which pieces are the actual non-accidents and which aren't. And I feel like we'd be disappointed either way. So it's smart of her to just let her fandom run wild with this, like, I told you so. She talked about clouds in this interview, and then the clouds, you know, appeared and they're pink, and this pink ties into like debut and debuts last original her debut date was June 6th or whatever. And so I'm just like, I want to know. I do. I feel like I'm back in my faith journey, and this is like, what's gonna break the shelf for me, you know?
Well, it is like, did Jesus know this? Like, yeah. like what actually is God's plan versus what is sort of like accidental? It's free will versus predestination of the 50s. We're trying to figure out. I think that the glitch on the website seemed like an error. So
I think people don't agree. Swifties don't agree.
I mean, I guess maybe that's a marketing ploy of like, oh, we're gonna put this up like for a minute, just like
drumming up interest,
right?
But and it stopped once people noticed it. Just like toys have to stop, Matt. Just like toys have to stop moving when they are noticed.
Okay. And we've officially lost the plot. Like,
got my tin hat on.
Swifties are getting close to the like people who think that the rapture is coming energy. Mm-mm. You know, like once a year, once every couple years, it's like, oh, actually, if you look at all these signs, like the rapture is coming. I have to quit my job. And it's like, no, I think that if you have a book like the Bible that has enough numbers and whatever in it, you can sort through and probably come up with a theory that the rapture is coming on every single day of the year.
Yeah, for sure.
It's the same thing with Swifties, because I also saw something and I didn't really read it. I don't know if this is like a common theory or whatever I can't remember what exactly Taylor Swift did, but people thought that she was going to drop both of the re-recorded albums on the same day at some point coming up, and it was like
like, I mean, pretty explicitly said she's not re-recorded,
right?
Debut, hopefully, just so we have better vocals. But it's always fun.
These are crazy.
Fun to have a Taylor Swift event to clown over. And I think this song comes out Friday, so we'll hear it then.
So we will hear it.
And then the movie is in a couple of weeks, right? The week after.
Yeah, which I'm very intrigued by Toy Story 5. This is different for you than it is for me, because you're sort of like more in the real world, I think, than I am sometimes. Is there a lot of marketing going on for Toy Story 5? I feel like I have not heard that much about it.
Oh, I mean, it's like, I mean, yeah, like it's like a huge Disney movie and there's always a preview for it. But I feel like
Wicked, and maybe this is just like a New York versus like other places or whatever kind of thing, or maybe it's just because I'm more interested in it. But I'm like, I feel like for Wicked and for Devil Wears Prada 2, I was seeing things for like months.
Well, but that's a live
ahead of time. Promo. I guess so. And you this can't, is like,
do a promo tour for an animated.
I mean, you got Tom Hanks, like,
right? Tim but Allen. They're old and they're I devoid of true. Recognition, like attachment to the actual toys.
Yeah,
like,
seeing
Tim Allen talk, it's like, well, get out
but
of here.
Is there a lot of like merch? Like, is there like a Swiffer tie-in with Toy Story that's going on? Because
that is true.
The reason why I'm asking this is because I feel like the Devil Wears Prada 2 did extremely, extremely well in theaters, like globally, has been a huge thing. Mandalorian and Grogu comes out last weekend, has like disappointing numbers, despite it theoretically having a bigger audience because, you know, international people love Star Wars. Like, Star Wars is a beloved franchise that's gone on for years. And I think part of the thing with The Mandalorian is just like fatigue of that franchise, but also part of it is that you know, like the movie wasn't very good, and the marketing I think was, other than like, oh, there's new like Baby Yoda stuff, there wasn't like a ton of marketing push behind that in the same way that I think there was for like The Force Awakens or whatever. And so I'm wondering with Toy Story 5, like, will this be the biggest movie of the year, or are people tired of Toy Story? And also, like, do kids like Toy Story now? Like, has Penny watched the first four movies?
Yeah, Penny's seen them. I feel like it's, like, inevitable. It's like Toy Story 4 did huge numbers, even though it wasn't that good. So
right.
It's like,
but at
there's
a certain
not really
point,
fear of it underperforming. So they don't need Swiffer.
But, like, at a certain point, things do. Because, yeah, like, the Marvel movies were, like, really Teflon for a while. And then sort of after you had a string of bad ones, like, they haven't been doing that great recently. And I think the same with Star Wars. Like, Solo, a Star Wars story, like, made a crap ton of money, even though nobody liked it. But, like,
kids' movies are easier.
Yes, I guess that's true.
It's like, think of all the bad movies that hit $1 billion. And it's like, it's because there's families who never go to see a Marvel, never see anything.
Yeah.
But then there's a new Toy Story. I feel like it'll do, you know, I feel like they'll do their best to drag out this story. And yes, it won't be like phoned in a way. Like, I'm sure it will be good, like, mm-hmm, pleasant. And so I think it's like their big money maker for sure. Like, I don't think they've fumbled it or like, well, whatever, yeah, just put something out.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like it'll be great and fine. And there will be some people who complain about, like, why didn't they stop after the third one? And there will be some people who are like, oh, yay, I love a good Disney movie.
I love a good back. Disney movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the Disney, the adult Disney people are obviously always down for absolutely whatever.
Mm-hmm, yeah. I mean, it doesn't look that great to me personally, but I think that's mainly because I'm looking at it from a, you know, I'm like, wait, so Woody left, but now he's back? Like, what are you guys doing here? Like, where's the character continuity? I don't like this.
I mean, thank God that he's back, because the fourth movie I did think was bad because they, like, separated Woody, yeah, and Buzz the whole time. And it was like, what are we doing? Like, why are we doing this? So I am sort of excited to get the gang all back together, mm-hmm, I guess. I just don't know, like, how many Toy Story movies there can be before we're
there.
I mean, yeah, I guess, like, how many Land Before Time movies were there? You know, so many. And I was watching them, yeah, all growing up. So yeah, at a certain point, I guess it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, for sure.
Did you see The Mandalorian and Grogu?
No.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, there was a muscly Jabba the Hutt. You weren't intrigued by
muscly, like not fat, like he was thinner.
No,
like he was
like
built.
He's a slug, but he like looks like he's on steroids. Rota the Hutt.
No, I missed that. I'm so sorry.
Wow. Well, wait. Did you know that Bad Bunny is in the new Toy Story movie?
Yeah.
I'm all of a sudden locked in. I'm ready to go. Oh, can't wait. How come they didn't get him to write a song for the movie? That's what I want to know.
Maybe he did. Maybe
is there a BB billboard somewhere that I can go take a picture with?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what else do we have to talk about?
Let's see. This
cast went to Cannes. They were at the Cannes Film Festival. Mm-hmm. And Mike White announced which two Survivor players got cameos. So that was exciting.
Cute.
People from Survivor 50, who he was on a tribe with, I believe, because he got voted out pretty early in Survivor 50. And I think people thought that, oh, like he would go for like Suri, like sort of the bigger tier players on Survivor 50, but it was like, nope, he's picking the random people who like were out early with him, and such is life.
Yeah. I mean, I think we need to talk about Keke Palmer's future husband.
Oh, yes. Sean Evans. Yes, yes, Sean Evans.
He of Hot Wings fame. Was on her podcast, and they always do this to us. They always are like, wow, look at these semi-normies with these hot celebs. They're meant to be together. And I eat it up every time. And I don't like it. I'm trying to catch myself from getting too attached. But they were very charming.
Who was the last?
They were very cute.
I was trying to think. I remember everybody like shipping another couple recently. And I can't remember. I couldn't remember who it was.
Andrew Garfield, Chicken Shop
Date. Oh, yes. And Chicken Shop Date. That is true. And we did love that. Yeah. Ugh. Is he dating anybody right now?
I think so. Andrew? I think he has like a smart girlfriend. Like, I don't remember. Maybe
I'm Monica Barbaro, the girl from the Bob Dylan movie. Oscar nominee, Monica Barbaro.
Gorgeous. Yeah, so nothing will probably happen, but it was a very charming watch, and Kiki remains like just the most watchable person because she was also on the Hollywood Reporter's comedy actress roundtable.
Oh my gosh, yes, talking about Two Girls, One Cop. A classic. A classic.
That was so funny.
That was an incredible roundtable.
Such a good roundtable. Except I felt bad for Lisa Kudrow. They really just left her there. She was clearly out of the loop on 90% of what these women were talking about. I mean, not just generationally. It's like Lisa Kudrow has made the choice to check out. And, you know, she's still making $1 million annually on residuals for Friends.
Right.
So, like,
yes.
Obviously, the skin in the game is not the same. But she was like blinking like a deer in the headlights during that.
Well, because the lineup is Ashley Padilla from SNL, Hannah Einbinder from Hacks, which we'll discuss more on our Thursday episode, the finale. Kiki Palmer, who I'm like, what TV show does Kiki Palmer have? I don't know why she's here. I definitely haven't watched whatever the show it is. Because she's not there for I Love Boosters. That's a movie.
Was she there for producing stuff, or is she in a comedy?
I assume that she's in a comedy that I just haven't seen or heard of. And then Lisa Kudrow for The Comeback, Quinta Brunson for Abbott Elementary, and Rachel Sennett for I Love LA. So it's like five millennial people, and then Lisa Kudrow, who is probably, what, like 20 years older than whoever the oldest person was. So I did sort of feel bad for her. And then I felt like because she was so out of it, Quinta Brunson was
the
sort
burbs.
Of like...
The burbs.
The burbs. Okay.
Yeah.
Quinta Brunson is in like manager mode, like trying to sort of like steer the conversation back on topic, like get people corralled. And like Quinta, just like let it go. Like, go full into the vibes. I love that somehow or another, Rachel Sennett, I guess, and Kiki Palmer both like wormed their way into this panel when they're probably not going to get nominated for anything. But I do love them both.
No, it was fun.
I thought was most interesting from this panel, and then I want to go back to Sean Evans, was like Ashley Padilla, they kept asking her questions about like, well, SNL is so competitive and you're the breakout star. Like, what is that like? And she just kept giving like pageant answers the entire time, which fair enough. Like, you know, she can't like... People like she can't give the real tea while she's sitting here and she's not even like a regular full-time person on the season. She just, you know, happens to have a breakout. But I'm like, part of it is the fact that there's only five women on the cast this season. And she could have like brought that up, which she doesn't really. And she's just kind of like, I don't know. I just sort of do my thing and I go home early and whatever. And I was like, girl, we want the tea. Like, you are here. Like, give us something. Give us anything. Kiki's over here giving us Two Girls, One Cup memes. And you are here like not giving us anything. And I love Ashley Padilla, but I was like, you're going to have to get better at this if you're going to have fans.
Yeah, I mean, I feel pretty checked out anytime anyone from SNL is talking. I feel like they have pretty tight rules about...
Until they're not on the show anymore,
until they're
and
not
then
on
they're
the
just,
show.
Like, talking about everything. They're like, I'm doing coke in the bathroom.
Yeah, but that was a fun circle, a fun gab. They were very disorganized, mainly thanks to Kiki and... I guess, and the two younger, like they were just constantly laughing, talking over each other. And, and the interviewer was like, what is going on? I have no idea. So that was fun.
I love that there was also an actors roundtable, and it's like, I saw not a single clip.
Oh yeah. So, like who would you even want to watch talk?
I don't, but like, I'm like, this is also a wild grouping of people.
I don't even know.
I don't know. Yeah. Glenn Powell, Harrison Ford, Owen Wilson, Riz Ahmed, Yaha Abdul-Mateen, and Zach Braff. Like, what shows are these people? Like, okay, what show is Glenn Powell here promoting?
He's in that, like, football show.
Okay, yes. Comeback. Chad Powers. Okay.
Oh, yeah, Chad Powers.
Chad Powers. The comeback is Lisa Kudrow. Yeah, Harrison Ford's obviously for Shrinking. What is Owen Wilson there for?
Owen Wilson
is here for comedy, apparently. That he
Owen
is
Wilson.
I have the answer. So,
as in you... Shanghai Nights, Owen Wilson.
Yes. Yes.
I don't know.
He was in a show called Stick. Do you know anything about this? Okay, Riz Ahmed, what show was he there for? For a comedy.
Is it an animated?
I don't know. I just have the name of it.
What is it?
Bait. Have you heard of the TV show Bait? Yaha Abdul-Mateen II was there for two shows, neither of which I've heard of. Wonder Man and Man on Fire.
That's the Marvel one.
Oh, Wonder Man's Marvel. Okay. And then Zach Braff is there for Scrubs, which I forgot that was like...
That sounds so dull.
Well, and I saw no clips from it. And I saw no clips from it. And that was the comedy roundtable. So you have to assume the drama ones are coming. And I'm like, ooh. Who am I going to have to... I mean, I'm not... Let's be real. I'm not watching these. So it's not like I'm like, oh, now I'm going to have to sit through it.
But going back to Kiki and Sean, do you think that the way people respond turn these people off from actually exploring a real connection? Or do you think it's just never going to happen no matter what?
I think the thing is, like, I think that Sean actually has a crush on Kiki. Like, that, I think, is real.
Of course.
He's talked about that on, you know, other shows that he's been on. And I don't know why he would, like, make that up. I think that's
I mean, it's relatable. Everyone probably has a crush on Kiki.
Because she just has, like, such star quality and such, like, fun energy. and also, like, I don't know, he's kind of a little bit boring. Like, he's a good interviewer, I think, but he's not, like... Whenever he's on something sort of like by himself.
He's got a big personality.
Yeah. It's like, and there's a reason why, you know, even though he has probably like the most popular interview show, it's not like Chicken Shop Date where you like, where you know a lot about her. Like he's in the clips and stuff, like, you know, he's sort of cut out as usually the other person.
He's the straight man.
Right. Yeah. To the point where now they sort of have like versions of the show that he's not even on, you know, or like like where the people ask each other questions or whatever. So I think he's interested in her. She, I think, is just one of those people who could flirt with anybody, like has so much charisma. And so I think when you know that he likes her and she can sort of like play into that and be flirty with him, like, and then he sort of blushes. It works perfectly. I just don't know if he is at all her type.
Yeah.
Because she has a kid, right? But not with...
No, her baby daddy was a loser who got mad about the, like, who was it? Usher? Or she was, like, dancing at a concert with Usher, right?
I'm like, I'm looking up Kiki Palmer's relationship timeline. Let's see.
Yeah.
Who else she's been Quincy Brown, Ty Dolla $ign, Darius Jackson. Like, these are not people who are necessarily giving me Sean Evans energy.
I know, but her mom even liked him. Okay.
Right.
Her mom even liked him. Anyways, yeah, they're probably never gonna be together. So I love and I hated seeing the clips of them.
Although she dated this guy, I'm now on Us Weekly looking through this. She dated a Dutch rapper apparently called Stein, who is kind of like pasty white boy energy. So, you know, maybe we're moving in the right direction. It does feel like she's dated mostly like entertainment type people and like more bad boy sort of energy than Sean Evans has, but
we all learn and grow.
Yes.
And there's opportunity to...
I mean, the best thing is that we know that they're definitely, like, whatever her next project is or whatever, like, they're getting back together.
Yeah, I'm honestly sort of
shocked that Andrew Garfield hasn't gone back on Chicken Shop Date yet, but maybe he needs to be single again before that happens.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Ugh, yeah. Okay, that's all I needed to get off my chest.
Okay.
Do you have any other updates?
Not really. I'm like, we talked a little bit about The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Did you see Backrooms? I haven't seen it yet.
No, I haven't seen it yet.
So I need to catch up to that.
But if we want to do the love it or hate it, it's relevant. Because I watched, after not watching anything related to this, I watched the Summer House Reunion episode, part one of three, I think.
Okay.
Summer House is the show with Sierra and Kyle and West and
yes,
Amanda.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I watched sizable clips of this.
I know. I love a messy reunion, and I was confused throughout this.
Oh yes, I was like, who are these other people? I'm like, who are you?
I know.
You're not involved. I don't know who you are.
Honestly, the premise of the show of these people like having a house they go to for the summer, I'm like, grow up. Like, that's what I feel. It's like, what do you mean you guys are playing like spin the bottle? Like, aren't you guys all like mid 30s? But okay. That's, okay. You know,
well,
whatever.
Shelby, let's
judging.
Back
I'm
up there.
Judging.
The summer house, I'm pretty like, the original premise of Summer House, I'm fairly certain, is basically the premise of like, me going to Fire Island.
Yeah, I know. I think it is.
When like Carrie and them have a share in the Hamptons in the summer on Sex and the City. Like,
okay, yeah.
I think
I get it. I know, but there's something so childish about them doing it for TV. You know, that's it. I think that's it.
Now like, some of them are like 40. I think when the show started and you're like in your 20s and you're going out there, like that makes sense.
For sure. Yeah. But now they're all like established probably millionaires for the most part, and it's just kind of like performative in a way to pretend like you don't know how to put on pants, you know?
Right.
But that's neither here nor there. The reunion itself was pretty good, but I was like caught up in this, what do we call it, like a square of drama here where Amanda and Kyle are a couple, and I did deep dives on this, but like surface level.
They got married. Yes, they were married. Yeah. Now they're divorced.
They got married, or are getting divorced. And then you have Sierra and West, who did not have a substantial relationship as far as I could tell. They had like a summer where they were together, but then they broke up and he's kind of a fuckboy. And so they've like hooked up a couple times since, but it's not like they were like longtime partners in the same way. But all the ires pointed at Amanda, I think, because the betrayal is greater and there's like this messy timeline of it.
Right.
But I was like, okay, so in my mind, if Amanda had just been straight, if Amanda had just been like, yo, I think I have feelings for this guy and like, what should I do about it? I feel like people wouldn't be mad. Like, I feel like, okay, sure, try it, girl, but trust me, it's not going to end well. So is it the line? Is that the thing, do you think? Or is it like people are actually mad that she's with Sierra's ex?
I mean, I think it's sort of both of those things.
Yeah, like, as an expert, please tell
me. I think you famously got married to a friend's boyfriend. So
I knew you'd bring that up.
So I'm like, you are like, I don't I'm see like, a problem whatever. With it. Yeah. It sounds great to me. Like, all's well that ends well. No, I think that I think if you're good friends with somebody and that person has a boyfriend, a husband, a crush, a situationship, or whatever, like whatever that is, you kind of like agree that that person is off limits, you know? It's sort of like,
no, I get that, but I do feel like there's times where you can negotiate your way around that.
Yes,
and honesty.
But I think when that happens, it's A, through honesty, and B, because you have sort of like big feelings about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
like if Amanda had been like, wait, I actually, like, I think that West is the love of my life.
Yeah.
I'm in the wrong marriage. Like, Sierra, you're kind of have been, like, hooking up with this guy. But, like, I think that this person, like, is my soulmate. He yeah. feels the same thing about me. Like, it's really hard to tell you this. But, like, we have realized we have this connection and we want to pursue it.
Yeah.
That is one thing.
No, but I'm obsessed with how
But in much this of a situation, it's like, she's not, he...
They're not in love with each other.
Right, they're not in love with each other. He, like, is all, like, hooking up with somebody else. They're not really even now his nudes in, like... leaked. Right, his nudes leaked. He's not
she's
even...
like, I've forgotten him.
He's not in an actual relationship with her when they're filming the reunion. They're just, like... sort of hooking up with each other. Yeah. And then she has the audacity to, one, like, lie to Sierra and various members of the cast that this is happening, which she sort of admits to in the reunion, but then proceeds to give this timeline of events that is obviously a second lie. She's lying again.
Oh my god, I know.
Where she's like, we didn't ever hook up until we released the statement on Instagram. It's like, that's not how this
They're
works.
Probably doing, like, ear stuff before.
Right, exactly, the ear stuff. It's
I
like,
loved it.
She's just doing such a bad job at damage control that it's making Kyle look good, which I think is
funny because
people have sort of like hated him and he's kind of been trashy for forever.
Yeah.
And I think people, and I think that's another part of the thing is that when Amanda and Kyle's relationship was going bad and Sierra and Wes' relationship was not going well, Amanda and Sierra were like bonding over the fact that they were both going through these difficult situations together. And then for Amanda to sort of turn around and be like, oh, actually, I don't care about you, even though we went through this. Like, I would rather sort of maybe hook up, like hang out with, I don't even know what the situation is with your ex-boyfriend is... Trash.
I expect more of women, you know, like to look at West and be like, this is the man. Like, I don't get it. He is so disgusting to me.
Yeah.
He's so bland. He's so like, what? Like, and that's what a lot of commentary is about, which is delightful for me. Like, everyone's like, this is a toe of a man. Like, get yourself together. He does not respect you enough to even, like, pretend to like you right now. And I like that ire. What's harder for me is when it's like, yes, I agree Amanda is bad and she has these patterns of disrespect and kind of... at the very least, like, obtuseness or her lack of self-awareness of her own, like, privilege and refusal to take accountability. But it's like, I enjoyed the parts where they turned their ire on West most of all, because he is the villain to me personally.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're obviously, like, both bad.
Yeah.
Like, I think the reason why people are more upset with Amanda is because, like, we knew that West was bad from the beginning and we didn't think that Amanda was bad. So her sort of drop has been a lot further in this moment than his. But she just kind of has pick me energy as someone who only knows
nasty,
her,
you know, nasty
through
work.
Clips or whatever. And that is forever going to be problematic. These women who
do you think they're going to end up on Traitors? Do you think he's going to have his Tom Sandoval moment?
Well,
I don't think he has personality.
Yeah, I'm like, the thing with the Traitors is, I'm like, I guess I don't know when the filming of that was or is, but I kind of feel like that would have had to, like, he would have had to have been in the works already. So I guess, like, he could maybe go on the next season of the Traitors, but supposedly that's going to be an all-star season. So I'm like, I think, like, logistically it might be tough for Amanda or Wes to go on there. I also think, I mean, Sierra's obviously the play to go on Traitors, but she's already been on Traitors and so has Kyle. I don't know I'm a little bit like, I don't know who is getting on there, but Sierra's obviously going on Dancing with the Stars, so that's
what also confuses me is that their summer house, you know, the news broke of this scandal. Summer House is still airing, so everyone's like hyper analyzing the show as it happens, which was all filmed previous to this, but now adds color. But now there's also this other spinoff show in the city, which is currently airing.
Yes.
It's now airing, but it was all filmed it wasn't last year.
Yes.
It was this year.
I believe that the timeline of this is like they filmed the season of Summer House last summer.
Yeah.
And then the season of In the City started filming at some point like in the winter. So I don't know if that was like before Christmas, like in November, December, or if that didn't start filming until January.
Because In the City is basically Kyle and Amanda's and the other...
It's like the adults, sort of, yes.
Yeah.
But I don't think that West is on In the City. And no. I also don't think Sierra is on In the City. No. It's like Lindsay and, Kyle, Amanda.
So what's going to happen with that show?
Well, I mean, so I would imagine that most of the filming of that did not involve...
Right.
This, unless, you know, sort of like the tail end of filming got some of this in it. But this is the weird thing about the reunions, is that the reunions not only have to grapple with the stuff that happened during filming, but also the stuff that happened subsequently, which is why, like, if you're a Bravo fan, you have to be paying attention to, like, BravoCon and Bravo Fan Fest or whatever, because there's all, and, like, these podcasts and stuff, because they'll show up to the reunion pissed off about something that wasn't even on the show because somebody said something on a podcast.
So funny.
So it's now, like, weird that we have the Summer House reunion that is dealing
because the reunion opens with a clip of them filming.
Right.
You know, be what is it called? Like, in the moments,
like,
for
like the confessional or whatever. Yeah, and then so then theoretically, whenever In the City finishes airing, which I would imagine is at some point this summer, there might be another reunion to that. But West and Sierra wouldn't be at that. It would just be like Kyle and Amanda and whoever else is on the cast. Yeah. So. And I don't know if there'll be, like, new information, really, to delve into with Amanda at that point.
Yeah. And also, just last statement on this is I don't like this whole, like, rewriting of, like, Kyle's actually, we feel bad for Kyle now. Like, I think he seems like a performative jackass, if I'm being frank.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that much about Kyle, other than he sort of has, like, bad vibes.
Yeah.
But I think he's kind of bad vibes
he cheated and he's bad at business.
Yeah.
And he's a loser. So let's not forget that, ladies.
Yes. But not like quite like Sandoval levels of like terrible. Like, I think he has like positive qualities as well. Like people, fans like him. Again, I can't really speak to this, but I think people do like him.
Yeah, for sure. Anyways, I'll probably update you with more thoughts on part two, which again, no skin in the game, but enjoying the ride nonetheless.
Right. Yes, exactly.
What about you?
I think I told you about this, but I'm like, did I talk about For All Mankind on the episode last week?
No, because we didn't have a pop culture roundup.
Right. Okay. So I started watching this television show, For All Mankind, which is on Apple. I did not realize this, I guess, but it was one of the original shows that Apple TV Plus started with. So back when, like, The Morning Show originally debuted, the other show that was on was For All Mankind. I never watched it. I hadn't really heard anything about it. It's never been, like, an Emmy contender or whatever in the way that, you know, Apple shows just sort of exist in the ether a lot of times. But I started watching it. And basically the premise is what happened if Russia got to the moon before the U.S. got to the moon. And I was like, okay, whatever. Like, I don't know. Like, it's confusing to me, like, how that premise is going to sort of shake out in a TV show. Like, that feels like one thing and then you're done. But it is really interesting how the writers put this together of, okay, if this happens, then... you know, how does that impact the next step and the next step and the next step? And one of the things that happens really early on in the show is, like, because Russia gets the moon first, for the Soviet Union, I guess, like, then America is scrambling to keep up. Then Russia gets a second person on the moon, and that person is a woman. So then the NASA has to, you know, completely, completely change their system. They have to get women involved in NASA, which is a whole big PR thing. In an episode that I just watched today, like, the Equal Rights Amendment then gets ratified because it's like, oh, well, we have women astronauts. So that sort of, like, changes the culture. Like, the person who gets elected as president is different. Like, it just sort of, it moves on. And I'm still in the first, I'm almost done with the first season, which is all set in the 70s. But then every season is the next decade forward. So it's like there's a season in the 80s, a season in the 90s as history
changes. And is it like The Crown where it's different cast, or do people just, like, age up?
I think it's the same characters. I think it's sort of like The Crown where some of the characters, I think, are, like, continue and age up, but then some of them sort of fizzle off and you get new people who are added to the mix. I have not watched, like, I'm only on the first season still, but
yeah.
In the marketing that I've seen, I think that they get to Mars at some point in one of the later seasons, so I don't know exactly how all of that factors in, but it is really interesting, and it's a sort of a big ensemble show with all of these different characters who kind of pop in and pop out. Penny from Lost is one of the actresses who's one of the Nixon's women, as they're called, the female astronauts. And yeah, it's just, it's really interesting. I feel like it's really thought-provoking. It's Apple, so it's gorgeous, and you can tell that they spent a lot of money on it. And I'm really loving it. And I feel like I haven't really loved a TV show where I'm like, oh, like, I just want to keep watching this that's not a comedy in a while. So I'm very sucked in. There's 5 seasons out now. The 6th and final season comes out next year. Apparently, people who love it, love it. And I am getting locked in. So.
Oh, fun. Okay. It's hard to get to Apple. You know what I mean? Like, I'm have to log in on my, I don't know. Like, I'm on my parents.
Well, I feel like Apple's one of those streaming services where it's like, you get it for a specific thing and then sort of, like, binge watch a bunch of stuff that's on there and then get rid of it. And no offense to Apple, but, like, I think, like, HBO seems to be, or, like, Netflix even are, like, a streaming platform that people seem to have, like, just always, and they're always, you know, kind of watching stuff. Like, even if there's not really anything on there, they still keep it. Where Apple feels like, oh, Ted Lasso was on, so I'm going to wait till the Ted Lasso season ends, and then I'm going to get Apple TV Plus, and I'm going to watch all of Ted Lasso, and I'll have it for, you know, the 3-month plan or whatever that I have to have it for. So, like, let me see what else is on there and watch a bunch of stuff, and then I'm going to cancel it. So, if anyone is moving into one of those phases in their Apple life, for all mankind, it's ready. A good show.
Love it. And then there's HBO.
Hacks ended last week, or this week, I guess. No, last week. And we are going to be breaking down the finale, the final season, the show as a whole, how Hacks has impacted the cultural zeitgeist, all of that. So we'll be back on Thursday. See you then. Bye.